Blog Talk Radio.
Mode 1.
I want to rock with you.
You are now listening to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
If there is at least one television program I find myself in constant competition with each and every Thursday, it is the just under one-year-old drama on the ABC network entitled Scandal. The program was created by the same woman who came up with the story for ABC's Grey's Anatomy, screenwriter and producer Shonda Rhimes. The show centers on the character of Olivia Pope, wonderfully played by actress Kerry Washington. Within the context of the show, Pope runs a crisis management firm that helps Washington, D.C.'s power players avoid media scrutiny when they have a personal scandal on their hands. Many critics love the show, and many women in society have applauded Washington's portrayal of the character Olivia Pope. Some have referred to the character of Olivia Pope as a role model for all women, and black women in particular. The question I have for fans of Scandal has to do with one of the primary subplots of the series. Within the context of the story, Olivia Pope has had an on-again, off-again marital affair with the fictional president Fitzgerald Grant on the show, played by actor Tony Goldwyn. And as we've moved into season two, Pope's character still has had an on-and-off affair with the president. My question is, how can a woman who is known in her career for her sharp intelligence and great decision-making allow herself to be categorized as a married man's mistress or a woman on the side? Tonight, I'm going to sponsor another one of my provocative open forum discussion episodes, which means that I will have the phone lines open for all of my listeners, and especially those listeners who tune in every week to watch Scandal on ABC, as I allow you to express all of your thoughts, opinions, and general comments tonight on Kerry Washington's controversial character of Olivia Pope, as I give you all the opportunity tonight to get up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, is this Alan Roger Curry of Mode 1 fame? Oh my God,
you're really good at this.
I gotta ask you, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in their race? You do.
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect the woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on, because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo! Mode 1! This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode 1, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha! Allen Roger Curry.
Attached. And I want women to answer that for me. It's like when you got a girlfriend, a serious girlfriend, a wife, steady partner, man, women just throw the pussy at you. They just throw it at you. I'm not even joking. Ask any guy who's reasonably handsome, reasonably charming, who's been either married or serious relationship. That's the number one time women throw the pussy at you, is when they know you got a woman, is when they know you being sexually satisfied by another woman. Men, we're not necessarily like that. You might have a handful of guys like that. But, like, if I know that a woman is married, I don't be trying to, you know, I don't be trying to fuck her unless she throw it at me first. You know, and I don't even do that anymore. My younger days I did, but as I mentioned on this show, I believe in karma. So I no longer have sex with women who have husbands, fiancés, or boyfriends. I just feel like that attracts bad karma in my life. But when I was young, hell yeah, shoot, man. If a married woman threw it at me, yeah, I'd fuck her. But I know, here's the thing I will say, and of course some of these are generalizations. I will make that clear. But men, for the most part, we're not willing to allow ourselves to be a woman's number two guy emotionally. If we're attracted to a woman like romantically and emotionally, we're not going to allow ourselves to be a woman's number two guy. Now, if you're talking about a purely sexual relationship, yes. I've been a woman's other guy before for strictly, like, you know, sexual purposes. And I know a lot of guys who have. But, you know, like, say if I was really feeling a woman, I was like, you know, felt like I was like falling in love with this woman or in love with this woman, and she was already had another guy, I would leave her the fuck alone. I would leave her the fuck alone. I would not be a woman's other guy. No, if I have any degree of profound emotional feelings for a woman, I would never allow myself to be a woman's other guy. And I would say probably 90 to 99% of guys I know are like that. Guys just don't allow themselves to do that. Again, guys would be a woman's other guy for strictly sexual purposes. But if there's emotions involved, you're not going to find too many men that are willing to allow themselves to be a woman's other guy. It just doesn't happen. So, again, my main question is, because of the fact that Kerry Washington's character of Olivia Pope is, she's a sharp woman career-wise, but in her personal life, she's questionable. So I want to hear from my female listeners. I want to hear from my female listeners and, you know, my male listeners too, if they have an opinion. But particularly my female listeners, I want to know, do you think she's a role model because of that? Because of the fact that she's allowed herself to be a mistress? Do you look at her as a role model? And again, my secondary question to my female listeners is, why do so many women allow themselves to be a man's mistress or a woman on the side? Why? I remember when I lived in Los Angeles, I was having dinner with one of my frat brothers, and he had these two women that he had met at a ski summit. And the one woman, I started flirting with her, and she said, "Alan, are you married?" I said, "No." And I thought, you know, her enthusiasm would go up. To my disappointment and surprise, her enthusiasm went down. She said, "Oh, okay." She basically went on to say, "I can't fuck around with you then." And I was like, "Really?" And she said, "No." She said, I don't mess around with single men." She said, "I only mess around with married men and men in relationships." I had to give her points for honesty. At least she was honest, but it just blew my mind. I've had a few women over the years that have told me that. I remember I told a story on the show two or three times about a woman I met, another woman I met in Los Angeles. One time I was at a social event, and I met this woman, and I started flirting with her, and she said, "Alan, are you married?" I said, "Oh, yes, I got a beautiful wife and three beautiful children." Man, this woman gave me a business card, and on the back she wrote down her cell number, her grandmama's cell number, her uncle's cell. I mean, she gave me like four different numbers for me to contact her. Then after she gave me the card, I started chuckling. She said, "What's so funny?" I said, "Well, I got to be honest. I was just pulling the wool over your eyes. I said, actually, I'm not married. I'm totally single and unattached. She said, you're not married. I said, no. She said, you don't have any children. I said, no. Then she paused and looked at me. Then she said, you know what? I think one of those numbers, I wrote down the wrong number. Can I have my car back so I can, you know, change the number? I said, sure. Do you know as soon as I gave her the car back, she tore it up? She tore it up. No joke. The woman tore up the motherfucker. And she basically went on to say that, you know. She was more willing to mess around with me when she thought I was married than when I told her I was single. That just blew my mind. And so, again, I kind of want to have two discussions in one tonight. One specifically about the character of Olivia Pope, and then my secondary issue is just in general, and this only women can answer, so I don't want male listeners calling in and try to answer this, but I want to know for women, why do you allow yourselves to be a man's other woman or mistress, particularly for a long period of time, let's say like 6 months or longer? Why do you allow yourself to be a man's mistress or other woman? That's what I want to talk about tonight. As always, I love to give love and respect to all of my listeners. And I have three categories of listeners. I have my archive listeners. That's probably my largest percentage of listeners. Then I have my live listeners. Then more specifically, I have my chat room live listeners, and I give them always the most kudos because they always make me feel like I have company while I'm doing the show. So in my chat room, I don't have too many people. I got my number one most loyal listener, Diva Adrian, Diva 362636. She's a big fan of Scandal. Big fan, so I know she's going to call in and express her opinion tonight on the subject matter. She is a big fan of Scandal. I got Nelson, who I met in Las Vegas last year. He's in my chat room. I got Adam Creco in my chat room, and I got a few guests in my chat room. Other shout-outs would be my older brother and ace confidant, Stephen Curry, my younger cousins, Athabal in Maplewood, New Jersey, Christopher Curry in Detroit, Michigan, J.P. Jones in Chicago, Philip Pulliam and his older brother, Irvin Z. Pulliam III, EVP3 in Seattle, EVP3. In Seattle, other shout-outs would be Vanessa Turner, Edie Lee Harris, all the women in my female supporters group on Facebook. Much love to you guys and a host of other people. And, oh, I was talking about Diva in my chat room. Diva? Well, I'll wait till I get on the line to tell her. But me and her have something similar. We have a lot of few things similar in common, but one thing is that our birthdays fall around the same time. She's one day ahead of me. Yes, listeners, my birthday is Sunday. My birthday is Sunday. Wait, let me see. I think I got Diva on the line. Diva! Happy early birthday to you.
Thank you.
Yes, Diva, her birthday is Saturday. My birthday is Sunday. Now, I've never shared this with the public, but I'm going to share it with you guys now. I had an interesting connection with one of God's representatives. I know it sounds crazy, but I did. And a few years ago, one of God's representatives said, Alan, we're in the beta phase of this new program called the Pause on 39 program. And I kind of knew what they meant, but he explained it. Basically, I'm able to stay 39 every year. It's interesting. It's unbelievable. I know it sounds totally crazy, but I'm able to stay 39 every year. So anytime you want to wish me a happy birthday, just say, Alan, happy 39th birthday again, because I was in that Paul's on 39 program. I was like the first one selected. So, yeah, I'll be celebrating my 39th birthday again on Sunday. But my good friend Diva here, her birthday is on Saturday. What's your favorite type of cake, Diva?
Probably carrot cake, but that's a little difficult to make for a birthday cake. So I'll take a yellow cake with buttercream icing.
Yellow cake with buttercream icing. Uh-huh. Well, mine, as people know, is German chocolate. I love German chocolate ice cream. Man, I cannot get enough German chocolate ice. That's always my preferred cake on my birthday. A close second would not be a cake. It would be a cobbler. Peach cobbler. I love anything peach. I've been drinking peach. Hey, oh, I got some news for you. You know I always love, I tell you guys, you know I love peach schnapple. Well, guess what? I've kind of, sort of given up peach schnapple because I felt like I was drinking too much sugar, and I don't like the diet version of peach schnapple because it has aspartame in it. So I've been making basically my own peach schnapple. I boil water, put in a bunch of peach tea bags, and real slices of peach, and then I refrigerate it and use stevia. I don't know if you mean stevia. Stevia is considered the best sugar substitute. So I use stevia. So I've been doing that for the last 2 weeks. I've been making my own Alan Roger Curry peach schnapple, and it's good. I ain't gonna lie.
It's probably cheaper. Peach schnapple is expensive.
Yeah, but, you know, I kind of miss peach schnapple a little bit. I mean, it's like, me and peach schnapple go back some years. It's like, you know, see, it relates to the theme of this discussion. You know, we're talking about mistress, you know. I feel like I'm cheating on peach schnapple. Peach schnapple done always had my back, always been there for me. Good times, bad times. You know, whenever I was down, peach schnapple's like, I'm here for you, Alan.
Did you have peach snapple after the first time you had sex? Is that why you like it so much?
Hey, I wish it was invented back then. No, I didn't start drinking peach schnapple until about maybe, I want to say roughly 10 years. My mother got me, well, what happened was my mother used to buy Lipton. Lipton used to have a peach tea.
Yeah.
That was really good.
Yes.
Then for some reason they stopped. I don't know why. They stopped.
They make summer peach tea.
And, oh, I didn't know that. Well, but they used to have a peach that my mother used to buy religiously, and I tried it, and I loved it, and then they took away that flavor. So then my aunt, her older sister, told her about peach schnapple. So she started drinking peach schnapple. Then I started drinking it and fell totally in love with it. And within a matter of 2 or 3 weeks, it quickly became my favorite drink. I mean, I was drinking it like every day, like multiple times a day. I mean, it was the way most people would drink water or whatever drink they drink frequently per day, every day. I was drinking peach schnapple. Like, I go to football parties, guys open brews and drink liquor. I say, I'm drinking my six-pack of Snapple. And
they have a summer peach, a mango, and a sun-kissed raspberry that they usually bring out after Easter, and you can usually get it through Labor Day.
Okay, I'm going to have to try this summer peach. I've tried the mango. I didn't, for some reason, mango, I don't like the same way I do just regular peach. Because I've tried a couple of people's like mango, and it's not the same as. But again, this stuff I've been making my own kind of brand. I use Celestial Seasonings. They have a tea called Peach Passion. And so what I do is I boil a big saucepan of water, throw in a bunch of those bags, then I throw in actual slices of peaches, and then I put some stevia in it, then I refrigerate it, and then I drink it. And it's been good. But anyway, what were we talking about before I segued on to, Oh, I was saying next to German chocolate cake, I love peach cobbler. Matter of fact, my buddy who's listening, who listens to all the shows, his name is Irvin. He, his mother. Now, Adrian, you said you make a good peach cobbler, right?
Yes, I do make a good peach cobbler, and I made a German chocolate cake last fall from scratch, melted the chocolate and everything.
Oh, see, you tell me this shit, but I don't get to taste it. Listeners, you know, I actually asked her to FedEx me some of her peach cobbler one time. That's how bad I want. I want her to FedEx me. And she's like, Alan, I'm going to do it. Alan, I'm going to do it. Then she said, something came up. And but,
I couldn't figure out a way to get it to you without it getting all over the place.
But, yeah, my buddy Irv, man, his mother, last year, she made one for him. Woo, man, make you slap somebody for that. Oh, man, that peach cobbler is good. The key to peach cobbler, I always tell people, who are interested in cooking it, it's the combination of the crust and the I don't know if I want to call it the sauce.
The juice.
That's the difference between exceptional peach cobbler, just good peach cobbler, average, less than average. And, I mean, the peaches is going to be a constant. That's in any peach cobbler, you're going to have the peaches, but you got to have the juice that tastes just right, and you got to have, I like it when the crust is like, almost has like a fried, really buttery taste to it. It's like crisp. If it's too bready, like I've had some people have, they make these peach cobbler where the breading is too much, it tastes too bready. I don't like that. I don't like that. I like when the crust is like, again, combination of crispy and buttery, and the juice is real thick. I don't like watery juice. I like the juice where it has a lot of sustenance to it. And my mother knew how to make it like that. Irvin's mother makes it like that. One or two other people I know, and I'm going to assume that you know how to make it like that.
The key to the juice is the butter and the cornstarch to thicken it up.
Yeah, man, that juice, man.
It's better on day two.
See, I'm getting hungry already. I'm on some peach cobbler now.
Homemade cinnamon whipped cream and some French vanilla ice cream.
Oh, you're killing me, Angie. That's like the food equivalent to dick teasing a brother. That's just wrong. Just wrong. Before I go to my first break, me and Dave are going to talk when I get back from my intermission about the subject tonight. But first, I always like to give couple of news things. I usually give one or two related to sports. The Combine, I don't know if you keep up with the Combine, but that's where prospective NFL draftees go to show how fast they are, how high they can jump. Now, you know Monte Teo from Notre Dame has had a lot of controversies going on to do with this whole catfishing thing where he had a fake girlfriend. Well, turns out he's experienced something worse than that at the Combine, which is simply a slow 40. Now, in track and field, they have the 100-meter dash. At the Combine, it's the 40-yard dash. That's how you evaluate any NFL athlete's speed, is by how fast they run the 40. The fastest 40 that's rumored, is unofficial, is Bo Jackson back in the, I think, late 80s, early 90s. They said he had a 40 of 4.12, but that was unofficial, wasn't official. And Deion Sanders had a really fast 40. I think of all the current players in the NFL, the fastest 40 is Chris Johnson, who's the running back for the Tennessee Titans. He had a 4.24 40. But anyway, yeah, Monte Teo had a 4.8 40. That's for NFL speed, that's slow. If he was a wide receiver, that would be considered like ridiculously horrible. But even for a linebacker, which is the position he plays, that's considered slow. linebackers, they want linebackers somewhere between 4'4 and 4'6. So 4'8 is considered slow, so he got criticized. Steph Curry in the NBA scored 54 points in Madison Square Garden. That young man is on his way, and I like his last name, Curry. It's not spelled the right way, but it just got a nice ring to it. Curry, Steph Curry, he doing it for the Golden State Warrior. Dennis Rodman met with the leader of North Korea and called him a friend for life. Huh, interesting. And finally, I found this very interesting. This is actually not something that came in the news in the last day or two. This is actually, when I looked at the data, it's about a week old. But a woman... Now, us men, we've heard many women say, "You a dog, you a dog, you a dog." Well, one woman decided to take that one step further in Las Vegas. She got arrested for having sex with a pit bull. Not making this up. She was arrested in her backyard. She was having sex with a pit bull out in the open, like her neighbors saw and everything. Here's the thing, though. That's not as rare as you might think it is. I remember I had a friend a few years ago. I don't know. I can't want to say like 8 to 10 years ago. We were talking about stuff to do with, you know, just... Oh, it was a story about a guy having sex with a horse. I don't know if you remember that story. There was a story in the news, a guy had sex with a horse. And this friend of mine, he was like, "Hey, man, shoot. That's rare for a man to do that," but he said, "Women do that all the time." I was like, "What are you talking about? Shut up." He said, "No, I'm serious." And he directed me to this website. I don't remember the name of it now. But it was this website that just centered on bestiality. Bestiality is when you get sexually aroused by having sex with animals. And, yeah, it had pictures of women having sex. The two main animals that women had sex with on this site was dogs and horses. I don't know what it is. Well, that's about that. But yeah, a lot of women on this site having sex with dogs and horses. I'm like, oh, I have never been that horny. I just want to let you know, I'm a kinky brother, and of course my hormones get the best of me. I get horny, but I've never been so horny as to say, "Damn, look at that. That horse over there, I think I want to fuck it." Or, "Damn, look at that bitch," literally, bitch, female dog. "Damn, I want to fuck it." I will never put my penis in anything that's not human. Nothing. There's even a toy called a pocket pussy that some woman was on my show talking about. She sold pocket pussies. I don't want my dick in no pocket pussy. Shit. For me, it's either a woman's vagina, a woman's mouth, or my own hand. But, man, that's wild. A pit bull. And they said when they arrested her, she didn't even try to deny it. She was like, "Yeah, I was having sex with my dog." Anyway, I will be right back so we can discuss again. We're going to be discussing two things tonight. One is, if you're a fan of the show, Scandal, if you're a fan of the show Scandal, what do you think of Kerry Washington's character of Olivia Pope? Not so much what she does career-wise on the show, but the fact that she allows herself to be the president's mistress and on-the-side woman. And then, kind of as a subcategory of that topic, I want to ask female listeners who are willing to call in, why are you as a woman willing to allow yourself to be a man's mistress or other woman, particularly over a long period of time? And when I'm talking for a weekend or a month or two, I'm talking about minimum 6 months or longer. Why do either, if you've experienced it, I want you to call in and tell me, or if you have, say, a girlfriend, sister, other friend that you know has done this, I want to understand the psychology behind it. So, don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. I will be right back after this brief intermission break. As soon as I find my intermission break. Because right now, I cannot find. But here we go.
Can you feel the tension? You know what's coming up next, don't you? You all know what's coming up next. So, what can I tell you? I'm excited. I'm standing backstage and I'm all jittery. It's the moment we've all been waiting for. What can I tell you? I read this guy's book about 2 years ago, and this is some of the most powerful shit I've read. The guy's mind-blowing. He's got a radio show. He's been all over the place. He's got crazy fans. He's amazing at what he does. He loves helping people as well. This guy will go on for hours and hours, even if it's like one person or 100 people. He doesn't give a shit. He'll stand there and he'll help people and help them and help them and just keep it. And he loves this stuff. He's passionate about it. He changed my life. He's changing everybody's life in the room and thousands of people. And he's amazing. I'm really happy. I consider him one of my mentors. I love the guy. Please go crazy for Alan Roger Curry.
What you said to the Japanese girl on roller skates.
I went up to her. I said, you got a talent for this rollerblading thing. And that was probably the only moment when she was smiling. She was like, yes, I love to rollerblade. I said, well, to be quite frank with you, I didn't give a fuck about rollerblading. I said, your ass looks so juicy in that, what is that, spandex? And she was like, oh, my God, I mean, would you just come to Venice Beach to just look at women's asses? I was like, is that a trick question?
Please visit www.mode1.net for more information on the Direct Approach Dating Summit 2010 DVD. Are you an expert and/or book author who offers men and women products and services related to dating and relationships? If you have a new product, a valuable service, or upcoming event or speaking presentation that you would like to advertise on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network that is guaranteed to hit your target demographic audience, then look no further than Blog Talk Radio's number one talk radio podcast program for active dating singles. Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry has had more episodes ranked number one in the category of romance, dating and relationships, love and sex, and overall self-help for singles than any other talk radio podcast program on the entire Blog Talk Radio network since January of 2008. I will help you advertise any product, service, or event that is designed to help men and women improve their love lives, sex lives, and overall social lives. Please write me at Blog Talk Radio Advertising at mode1.net. That's MODEONE.net. Don't wait. Do it now.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, the most listened to talk radio podcast program on the Blog Talk Radio Network in the category of romance, dating relationships, since January of 2008. Tonight's episode, as you know, I would say probably 80 to 85% of my episodes, I have a special invited guest, like an author of a dating and relationships book or some other type of expert. And about maybe 15 to 20% of my shows are called open forum discussions. And the key thing to my open forum discussions, since I usually don't have a guest, is that I depend on you, the listener. So if you're listening to this show right now live, I want you to call in and express your opinion on tonight's topic, because that's the only way I can have an open forum discussion. I mean, I can't just talk all night by myself. I mean, I could, but, you know. But anyway, what the subject is tonight, if you just tuned in during the intermission break, is are you a fan of the show Scandal? That's my main competition now on Thursday nights. I used to only have a competition of certain NBA games, but now, starting with April of last year, a lot of my female listeners watch Scandal, starring Kerry Washington as a crisis management expert named Olivia Pope. Now, when it comes to her career on the show, I have no criticisms of her. She's a very sharp woman. She's on top of her job. She has a great staff. You know, she knows what she's doing. But in her personal life, she on the show, now I haven't watched a number of episodes, so I'll confess that up front. I've only watched probably like 2 or 3 episodes since the show premiered. But I hear about it all the time from different women. And the show, she has this kind of on and off affair, extramarital affair with the President of the United States on the show, played by Tony Goldwyn. His name is Fitzgerald Grant on the show. And, yeah, they be fucking around. And I'm like, why is a woman who's supposed to be really sharp and make good decisions, why is she giving in to the temptation to be a married man's mistress? Or some guys would be a little more harsh and say his on the side hoe. You know, why is she allowing herself to do that? Then my secondary question is, beyond the show in real life, why, and I want to specifically hear from female listeners, I invite you to call in, I want to know why women, period. You know, because women always ask me and other men, why do men cheat? We get asked that question dozens of times a month, if not per week. Why do men cheat? Well, my similar question to women would be, why are women so willing to be a married man's or a man in a relationship's mistress or on the side woman? Because, I mean, to me, that's the answer to why men cheat. I mean, there's probably about 25 answers I can give, but probably one of the most valid answers I can give to why do men cheat is because there's so many women willing to give up the pussy to a motherfucker that's married or in a relationship. As I said at the beginning of the show, I actually, in my own life, and most of my buddies have agreed with me on this, I've had more women generally throw pussy at me when I've been in a relationship than when I've been single. That's the honest to God truth. Anytime I've had a serious girlfriend, women will come out the fucking woodworks throwing pussy at me. I've had women, some women who were really bold. I've had women hit on me in front of my girlfriend. I never forget, I was in college. I was coming from a party with my girlfriend. We were holding hands. And this woman said, Alan, when are you going to come see my new dormitory room? I was like, bitch, are you crazy? Disrespecting my woman like, what the fuck? Yeah, so I'm asking women, why do you allow yourself to be a man's mistress or on the side woman? And I'm not talking about for say, if you did it for a couple weeks or even a couple months, I'd let that pass. I'm talking about minimum 6 months. 6 months or longer, if either you, somebody you know, like your sister, close girlfriend, coworker, I want you to explain it so that the men can understand what attracts you to men that in relationships. But first, We're going to start with Olivia Pope, and I got my good friend and loyal listener, Adrian, on the line, because Adrian, you know, she supports me on this show. She was in the hospital, was listening to my show. But ever since Scandal come on, she's like, Alan, you know I'm going to have to multitask because it's going to be a good episode of Scandal, so I'm going to watch Scandal. I'm going to be half listening to you, and then I'll be watching the Miami Heat beat the shit out the Lakers, and then I'll be watching the NFL draft too. And she does like five different things, you know, while she on Thursday night. Thursday night is just a busy night. Sometimes, you know, she doing the do and stuff. So, Adrian, what's up with Olivia Pope allowing herself to be Fitzgerald Grant's mistress? What are your thoughts about that?
Well, first of all, to go back, the last time I think the Miami Heat was on, I think they was beating the shit out the Bulls. But
oh, shit, she got to talk. Classic Adrian got to talk shit about my damn Bulls. Boy, ain't that a bitch. Ain't that a bitch. So you done pissed me off now, but go ahead.
Well, first and foremost, let me say that I love, absolutely love Scandal.
No,
you kidding. This is shit. I'm trying to be Olivia Pope when I grow up. She has got it going on. But I do find that there are a lot of women who are very confident within themselves from a professional standpoint, but do not exude that same confidence when it comes to their personal life. My grandmother used to joke all the time and say, no woman wants a man that another woman doesn't want. That's why women cheat. So if the man is already married, somebody got him, why would I want, as a single woman, why would I want a man that's already single? Because don't nobody else want him, because he's single for a reason. And you know, the older men get, women think that there's a problem with him, something is wrong with him, if he's still single.
I am going to give at least some degree of validity to what you said, because I've mentioned this, I think, at least once on my show. My own late mother, of all people, you know, me and my mother, when she was alive, we used to talk about dating relationships at times. And this was actually when I was young. I want to say I was maybe a freshman in college, and we were talking about a number of things. But anyway, at one point in the conversation, that was her piece of wisdom she gave. She said, Alan, I'm going to tell you something. She said, women, I think her exact words were, women don't want no man that they think no other woman wants.
Yep.
She said, she kept using stocks. She's talking about stock rising and stock dropping. And she basically said, the more attention that women see you're getting from other women, the more your stock goes up and the more it makes them want your attention and companionship. But if women see that you're not really, you know, getting any attention from other women, then they don't want you. Because as you were just alluding to, she said that makes them think something might be wrong with you.
Mm-hmm. If you're sitting in a club and that brother's sitting over in the corner by himself, or you see the other brother sitting in the other corner and he's got two, three women around him, you want to know what's intriguing about him, that he's got two, three women around him and his other brother has none. So what's intriguing about him? So...
That's valid. Matter of fact, there's a term that a lot of people in my industry use, other like dating coaches and guys whose careers they help men. A few of them, they'll in a lot of their materials, they call that pre-screened. I mentioned that. Matter of fact, if you listeners have read my latest book called The Possibility of Sex, there's a chapter where I actually use that term. But a lot of dating coaches turn for that. It's called they'll basically say, when you were using the example she just gave, if you're at a club and say you're surrounded by women, and even more so say those women are hugging on you a lot and kissing on you a lot, that will show other women that you're pre-screened. And what that essentially means is, that women will tend to view you as, well, shit, He probably, if nothing else, he probably got some good dick, because he got these women hovering all around him and they smooching on him and, you know, grabbing on him and stuff. So we're not going to take as much time to make him jump through hoops or get to know him, because he's already shown us that there's something appealing about him. So basically what dating coaches end up saying is that a woman would be more likely to go to bed with you quicker because you've already gotten a stamp of approval from other women. So, yeah, they call that pre-screened. But see, what's interesting, and I said this at the beginning, and of course, we both know that there's just a lot of differences, a lot of similarities between men and women at times, a lot of differences. I don't know too many men who are willing to be a woman's other man if their attraction to that woman is on an emotional level. Now, on a purely sexual, non-emotional level, yes. I've been that guy. I've been a woman's other guy just for sexual purposes. But if, say I met a woman, Linda, and I wanted Linda to be my girlfriend, but Linda was like, no, I'm in love with Brian, but, you know, I'll see you on the side, I would be like, oh, fuck no. Hell no.
Yeah, men can't handle that. I know plenty of men who are married and have had affairs, and I've asked them, what if you found out your wife was having an affair? They went ballistic. And I'm like, how are you going to go ballistic and you having an affair? You're doing the same thing. How can you be mad because she's turning around doing the same thing that you're doing? Y'all can't handle it.
Oh, I agree with that. I agree with that. I tell men that myself. Men are very, hypocritical when it comes to cheating. I've had men tell me to my face, look me in the eye and say, the most important thing I need in a woman is loyalty. And this would be a motherfucker that just cheated on his girlfriend like last week. But yet they'll want strict loyalty because, I know the reason behind it. There's nothing confusing being a man behind it. And I think I talked about this recently on one of my shows is that, before I go on, I always like to give shout outs to new people. In my chat room, I see Aaron2213. Welcome. I see Black Women Talk. Renee, what's happening, Renee? I know she's going to have some stuff to say. Christian Davis, I haven't seen you, Christian, in a while. Welcome. I got EdgeXM. I want to say as a new listener, and he's on the phone line. I'm going to bring him in just a little bit. And I got Nelson, one of the readers of my books. I met him in Vegas, a real good young brother. And that name that frustrates me. Why don't you change your username? Susie DeJesus, whatever. I don't even know how to say that. Susie De, I just call you SD. SD is in the chat room. Welcome, everybody. Fuck me with that username. You know that's wrong. But yeah, I understand why being a man, I think all men pretty much understand all aspects of other men's behavior. And men are very egotistically competitive. Not to say that women don't have egos, because women surely do. But men, there's just something about it. And when we're in a relationship, we like to feel, validly or invalidly, like we own the pussy. We just do. I mean, most men will even say that. You women know that. When a guy's fucking you, a lot of times they say, whose pussy is this? Whose pussy is this? Oh, it's your pussy, Derek. Oh, it's your pussy, Tyrone. It's your pussy, Alan. You know, I've said it. I ain't going to lie. I'll be like, yeah, whose pussy is this? We want that ownership. Shit, if there was a document, we would want you to sign it saying, okay, Alan, this is your pussy. You just like when you get that ownership of a car or a house, the deed to the house, you want the deed to that pussy. So men are just insulted when a woman even thinks about letting a man enter into something that they feel they own. That's like, oh, hell, fuck no. No, 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 no. But then you have your exceptions. And the exceptions would be, and I've talked about this on the show, I've actually interviewed women from the adult film industry who had husbands or serious boyfriends. There are actually women who will be fought for a living that have serious boyfriends or husbands. Or if not fucking, come close would be strippers. I know a lot of strippers who do lap dances with other men who are married or have serious boyfriends. So that's to say that some guys are open-minded like that. They're cool with it. And there's other guys who engage in what's called polyamorous dating or open marriages, open relationships, where they'll allow their partner to fuck a guy that they approve of. Not just some random motherfucker, but it has to be a guy that they approve of. But for the average guy, no. But yeah, anyway, back to her point. Yeah, a lot of men, two areas I always say that men are extremely hypocritical, and women have their own areas of hypocrisy. But for men, cheating is one, and number two is promiscuity when it comes to women they want to fuck versus their daughters. No man wants their daughter to be promiscuous. I ain't never met a man who said, I'm cool with my daughter fucking the whole football team. He ain't never going to meet a man that's cool with his daughter being in any way, shape, or form. Yet, those same men who would not want their daughters to be promiscuous will love fucking promiscuous women. But they, men be ready to pull out a gun. You talking about their daughter, you know, fucking somebody other than a husband or long-term boyfriend.
That's why God gives those men all daughters and no sons.
But anyway, see, we're spending too much time now talking about men because this show is supposed to be about women and the psychology of women and what they do. So you're saying that one of the reasons why women tend to become a man's mistress or woman on the side is because, among other reasons, that lets you know he has some appealing qualities and something to offer since he has a wife or girlfriend.
Yes. I also think the whole piece of cheating has evolved. You know, 40, 50 years ago, if a woman was cheating with a married man, she was just a whore, and it was all about what she could get out of them. You know, in 2013, the woman has evolved, and we'll take it or leave it. I think now women have more information. I think men are being a little more open these days about whether or not they are married, and women are making conscious decisions, as you said earlier, to enter into relationships with married men. There's nothing to expect. You know, if I know you're married, then there's not a whole lot of expectations, and there's a lot of women out there today that want you to come over, we'll have dinner, we'll hang out, we'll do lunch, we'll fuck, and then you can go back home to your family. I don't need anything else. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that's the reality of it. And they are making the conscious decision to have affairs with married men because there's no expectation. They don't want commitment, which is almost the opposite of what it used to be for men. They don't want commitment. They want 2-3 men that they can rotate, and if they're married, so be it.
Well, you know what's... Oh, go
the
ahead,
respect for the married woman has pretty much gone out the window.
Well, it's interesting. That woman you heard me mention, I don't know if you listened when I talk about the woman I was out to dinner with in L.A. with my frat brother. That's basically what she said. She exclusively only dated married, messed around with married men. And one of her primary reasons was she didn't want guys, and this is something you would almost expect a guy to say, she said she didn't want guys becoming too attached to her. And even though she didn't feel like that was impossible for a married guy, but she did feel like it was less likely. And, you know, she wanted to be able to come and go when she pleased. She didn't want that guy to, you know, get too attached to her. So she felt like, you know, if I want some dick from him, I get it. And when I don't feel like being bothered, why don't he go back to, you know, with his wife? But the thing I just feel that's so ridiculous about these women who are openly willing to be is that they would always ask this question, why do men cheat? But, like, I always bring up the Tiger Woods scenario. People are always dogging him out there, but man, I can't believe he cheated on his wife. I'm like, what about the bitches who was fucking him, though? They knew he was married. Why the fuck they gonna fuck him and they know he married? But no, I didn't hear anybody, particularly women in the media, no one wasn't criticizing those women. At least that I heard. It was all the criticism was towards Tiger. But
well,
I'm like, these women are fucking a married man.
I think the criticism went towards Tiger when the number kept going up and we hit 13 and 14 and went up to 18. I think that's when the criticisms came in. Really?
Well,
18 men? Really? 18 women? I'm sorry, really? That's just crazy.
Yeah, well, I still say that's crazy that 18 women willing to fuck a motherfucker that they don't marry. Right now, I'm going to bring in a guy who's been waiting. I want to say he's a new listener of mine. He goes in the chat room by Edge XM. Edge, welcome to Upfront and Straightforward. How are you?
I'm not doing too bad. How about you?
Oh, I can't complain myself, brother. So, what's your take on two things? One, on if you watch Scandal or at least watched a couple episodes, what do you think about Olivia Pope allowing herself to be the president's mistress on that show? And then more broadly, what do you think about just women allowing themselves to be a man's mistress or on-the-side woman?
Well, just generally, I don't know the show that you're talking about, but when you're talking about biologically what women look for, it generally comes down to the hunter-gatherer alpha male. If a man can provide in the original caveman sense as the hunter-gatherer, more women are attracted to him because they know that if they procreate with him, then he will protect their children. He's more of an alpha male than a beta male. And that's why women are more attracted to married men in this day and age, because they know that married men have children, they have responsibility. And that's why a lot of women go towards that thing. And like you said before, you notice that when you're in a relationship, a lot more women are attracted to you. It basically works off the base instinct of the hunter-gatherer. It's worked that way for millions of years.
Yeah, man, that's always been the scenario with me, and I'd probably say I'd estimate 90% of my buddies have said the same thing, that it's like when I'm single. I mean, don't get me wrong, I've gotten laid when I've been single, but the difference is typically I'm the initiator, and I'm the one who basically is the pursuer.
Exactly.
Whereas when I'm in a relationship, women become aggressive and assertive with me.
Well, that's the thing. Your entire body language changes when you're in a relationship. So physiologically, you actually become more attractive to women because they know that you are someone capable of holding a relationship. And it is a subconscious thing. Women don't do this consciously. It is something that is subconscious to women. Women see that you are a hunter-gatherer, you are an alpha male, therefore they seem to be more interested in you because subconsciously, while they don't realize it, they are more attracted to you because you are in a relationship. You do show responsibility. And that is the reason why women are more attracted to you while you're in a relationship, rather than you not being in a relationship.
Edge, you know, I'm going to send you a link of an article I wrote on the Examiner a couple of years ago. You're going to find it very interesting. It talks about the whole alpha versus beta dynamic. Now, are you from Australia?
No, I'm actually from Britain.
I'm from
the United Kingdom. What can I say? I found the conversation intriguing, and I thought that to actually provide the scientific information about why women are more attracted to men in relationships was down to a simple subconscious choice, more than themselves. I mean, the idea of cheating in itself, we have become so evolved that we can recognize the fact that cheating is wrong. But the reason that the media portray Tiger Woods as a horrible person and doesn't talk about the women he slept with as horrible people is because we are still stuck in this whole idea of alpha male. You are a hunter-gatherer, therefore you shouldn't be sleeping with anyone outside of your hunter-gatherer relationship. While women are looking at who could be the best hunter-gatherer to raise their children. So it works still off this subconscious biological level. Therefore, this is why the media portrays the man who has slept around as bad, yet they are quite happy to talk about the woman who has slept around as someone who has experience. It's very much a hypocritical way of thinking.
Oh, very much so.
So, and that is the alpha-beta dynamic, as Alan Roger Curry talks about. He's just posted a link right there. And I really am not trying to be sexist, but when you talk about sleeping with other people, why is it that the man is always considered the rat and the scumbag while the woman is considered someone who, well, I would not say always, but in most cases, someone who frees himself, because evidently the man doesn't please him, so they have to go and get it somewhere else. It seems very hypocritical, and I'm only talking from the standpoint of my media in the UK, not the media of the US.
Oh, it's the same. It's the same. Matter of fact, I was on about 2 years ago. I was on this radio program in New York, and the theme of the discussion for the night was, why do women cheat? And it was so funny, Edge, because the host after the show ended up giving me a compliment. She said she thought I was more real than these psychiatrists and psychologists that were on the show with all these credentials. But anyway, all these psychologists, their main assertion was, well, women cheat because they're lonely and they're not getting the love that they need from their husbands and boyfriends. And I was basically like, that's some bullshit.
As soon as a man does it, they're scumbags. It is a bastardization based on genitalia. It really is. It's basically, let me, for example, suggest, and I am not suggesting this as fact, I am suggesting this as my own opinion. I am suggesting that the idea of current feminism, not the old school idea of feminism which was equality, but current feminism suggests that you cannot objectify women as you can objectify men. So therefore, if women manage to have sex with a married man, for some reason these women are liberating the man's wife from their scummy ways. But if it's done the other way around, it's suddenly evil and wrong. There's a hypocrisy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. I was going to quickly say that on that show I was on, I basically said that a lot of women cheat because they want some good dick. Just like men want some pussy, women want some dick. But nobody wants to, all these experts, they don't want to say that. They always want to make it, reframe it so that the woman, she has a justifiable reason.
Oh, exactly. Cheating,
whereas the man is just that he can't control himself.
Exactly.
And I'm like, that's some bullshit.
Can I elaborate on that a little more?
Yeah, I'm going to give you a couple more minutes and then we're going to have to move on. But yeah, go ahead and elaborate.
Fine. Your thoughts. I'm going to say this. I'm going to say, well, one of the things that's, it was a stand-up comedian called Jim Jefferies, and he turned around and said, it's the man's job to get erect, and it's the woman's job to get wet. And when it comes to women, we caress them, we hold them, we kiss them, we hug them, we kiss all along their bodies, we go along and make them wet. To make them ready for sex, we go through so much foreplay. And then when it comes to foreplay for men, we just have to see you. Who's more committed to the relationship?
All right, Edge. Well, I appreciate you calling in, and I appreciate you listening to the show. And hopefully you will continue to listen in the upcoming weeks.
Well,
and
I'm glad I had the opportunity to call, but I just wanted to point out the differences between men and women. And when it comes down to it, I just feel the need to say, yes, anyone cheating is just wrong. It doesn't matter if you're in a married relationship or not. If you are cheating, you are wrong. If you are with a married woman and you are a single man, both the single man and the married woman are wrong. And it goes the same the other way. If you're a married man and you're having sex with a single woman, you're both wrong. There is no difference. It comes down to the fact that you are screwing around with what vow you made.
Your voice kind of faded out, but I heard most what you said. And actually, I don't know if you're familiar with my books, but if you're not, go on Amazon.com and put in Alan Roger Curry. But that's the gist of most, if not all, of my books, is what you just talked about. I'm all about upfront, straightforward honesty.
Exactly.
And so I do not believe in cheating. I tell that to both men and women all the time.
Yeah.
My attitude is, if you want to fuck two or more people, then you need to have the balls to say that straightforward.
Yeah. Do you know who I've found in my own lifetime? Do you want to know who I've found is the most cheating group of people?
Who's that?
That would be lesbians. I've met gay married couples. I've met straight married couples. I've met gay couples, lesbian married couples, lesbian couples. I've met transgender couples, but the ones who cheat the most would be married lesbian couples.
You know, that's funny, and this would be my closing note, and then I got to move on. But there was I have a female friend who had reached a stage where she was just kind of like anti-men. She's like, oh, you know, all men are dogs, they all cheat, you can't trust them, blah, 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 blah.
But she's just an angry straight broad.
She was heterosexual, but she decided to experiment with bisexuality. So she met this woman she knew, and they were sipping on wine, and the woman just started hitting on her one night and asked her, could she, you know, lick her pussy. And she let her. And so at first she thought it was going to be like a one-night thing, but then they ended up getting into basically a relationship.
Yeah.
And then a few weeks or a few months later, they broke it off, and when I asked about it, you know, at first she was like, I don't even want to talk about it. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll wait till you're ready to talk about it. And then when she was ready to talk about it, she basically said, Alan, you know what I learned? She said, women ain't shit either. I thought it was men that just wasn't shit. I thought being in a relationship with a woman, there would be more trustworthy, more honest. But she was like, this bitch I was in a relationship, she cheated on me probably more than any man I've been with.
Exactly.
And I was like, wow.
But that's the thing. We are simply nothing but animals. We are evolved animals, yes, but we are still animals. We are never going to be not animals. We are another species of animal, and as soon as we all understand that, we can get on with the rest of our lives. And before you hang up on me, let me just post my Facebook link to everyone. So if they are interested in talking to me about anything, whether it may be the idea of feminism, genitalia, relationships, religion, all the way down to random role-playing games or whatever, I'm happy to just sit there and talk to people.
Hey, Andrew, I'm going to ask you a favor before you go. One thing I do with a lot of my guests and even a lot of my call-in listeners, the name of my first book is called Mode 1. And I have my guests and listeners stretch out the O's so that they say, Mode 1. So give me your best Mode 1.
Well, before I do that, I would just like to say, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Phil Marshall C, and you will find me all over the internet. as such. You will find me on EdgeXM with the link I've given below. But I am here exclusively tonight to advertise to you in my buttery baritone man voice that you are listening. In fact, I'm going to stop because I want your host to be able to come back to this link. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi. This is Phil Marshallsy, and you are currently listening exclusively on Blog Talk Radio to Phil Marshallsy telling you to go out and buy Bold One.
Alan Roger Curry.
Up front, straight forward.
Alan Roger Curry.
Thank you, my friend from the UK. I'm going to take an intermission break, but when I get back, I see more people in my phone queue. Keep calling in, 301, I see you, and I will get you right when I come back from this break. So don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. Wait a minute, before I go to my break, Adrian, even though you've done it before, I want to hear you do it again. Give me your either your most enthusiastic or your sexiest Mode One.
Mode One. Alan Roger Curry.
Mode One. Up front, straight forward.
Mode One. Alan Roger Curry.
Mode One.
Mode One.
You're about to enter into the erotic zone with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, the king of verbal seduction. This is the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Diana DeVoe, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Layla Odom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Bella.
And this is Charlie.
And we're dancers from the legendary Score Strip Club in New York City. And you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist. I'm in love with
a This is Alexandra Kanahakis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
So I'm getting treated for my sex disease.
This is Nikki True, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Ambrosia Cumming, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Brandy L. Davis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
Episodes of the Erotic Conversationalist are available as a downloadable MP3 file from www.mode1.com. All right, I'm going to go with my next caller, area code 310. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best looking guy, you're not the richest guy out there, how are you getting all these women? And essentially, the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Allen.
Oh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Allen.
I like that.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
Tuning in, it's nice to see you all again, so.
If you found this page, I'm guessing at least on some level you'd like more success.
Seducing sexy ladies. Here's the deal.
My name's Sasha. Hello. And I like women.
Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody.
This website has tons of resources to help you guys get that success that you want. It's all there for you. The articles, the videos, my blog, the luck of adventures and tips, it's all there for you guys.
Let's make the magic happen.
If you're interested in some more intense training, take one of my boot camps. They are fucking good. I'll be honest with you guys. I'm doing boot camps all around the world, so I might be coming to your city.
I would love to come over there and teach you this stuff. It's awesome! And you learn how to meet tons of hot girls. If you're in London, this is the guy. He's going to take good care of you. He's really present in the moment. He's really good. He hooks up with tons of girls. Good teacher and just somebody you want to hang out with and learn from. Oh, so many names.
It's my first name and my sister name.
Okay. Well, yeah, I will see you. Mm.
You will?
Ryan.
Ryan. Me too.
Over the last few years, I've dedicated my life to getting good. It's a sort of fun and natural way of meeting women in the daytime.
What are you doing, actually, in your free time? What's your goal?
I meet beautiful girls on the street. You know, chap girls on the street. Sound test? Sound test 1, 2, 3, 4. Sexy man. Hi. Can I get a little fist action? We're filming. I'm going to do a little fist. Just come on. You know you want to. You know you want to fist me right now. Boom shakalaka.
Yeah, check out the boot camp page if you're interested in that.
I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it's useful to you. So please.
Sasha@sashapway.com. Thanks for coming to the site and...
Stop being a fucking... Just... What? Come on, people. She's there in front of you. That's the only indicator of interest you need. She's there. You're there. Go for it.
Please pay a visit to www.sashapua.com.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
We now return to my discussion about why do successful women allow themselves to be a married man's mistress on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry right here on Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, the most listened to talk radio podcast program on the Blog Talk Radio Network in the category of romance, dating, and relationships. Area code 301, you're now Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. And what is your comment about Olivia Pope and or women who allow themselves to be a man's mistress?
I'm just listening in tonight, man. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Don't comment. Huh? All right. I see a bunch of other callers, but nobody has a hand raised. If you want to call in with a comment, you call in to 646-478-5710 and press the number 1. You press the number one when you call in, and that lets me know that you have something to say. Again, when I do these open forum discussion format episodes, I depend on my listeners to call in otherwise because I don't have a guest. So, you know, you don't want to hear me just keep talking and talking. Now I see area code 609, 609, you're now up front and straightforward. Alan Roger Curry, what's your comment related to either the character of Olivia Pope on Scandal, having an affair with the president, or just women in general who allow themselves to be a man's mistress?
Man, well, Kareem out of Jersey calling back, and you know,
what's up, Kareem? Good to hear from you.
Yeah, good to hear from you too. Yeah, I mean, I've seen Scandal a little bit, and her character, the way she's portrayed, is cool. I see she's just kind of like the mistress of the president. I mean, my opinion on the character in itself, it's just interesting. I guess from the drama behind it, women would like that character. That's why they're so intrigued in it, you know, the drama and the storyline. But in real life, when it comes to females being a side chick, I think that they're just in general more attracted to what they can't have necessarily. So when there's a dude that's in a relationship, that's when he becomes a hot commodity because, I mean, they already know that he has a girl that he's obviously, you know, taking care of business. So if he's with somebody, well, she starts to wonder, well, what does he have that I'm not getting? So that's when they get into competition mode. So I think, honestly, in phases like that, females can be really, really competitive when it comes to, you know, trying to get a dude from a girl that he's already with, as opposed to a guy that's single. They don't really give him a time of day. So, you know, that's why some people, some dating coaches, they, some stuff that I read, they'd say, when a girl asks you, are you seeing anybody? Don't be straightforward about it. Don't say, no, I'm not seeing anybody. Even you said it in your book, actually.
I was going to bring that up.
Yeah.
You know, I just talked about that, I think, last week on this show, I want to say, or a couple weeks ago. Yeah, because my whole books are about upfront, straightforward honesty.
Yep.
But if there's one portion of my book that I will openly admit that I do endorse or condone a man fudging a little bit and not being totally honest, is I tell men, anytime a woman asks you, for example, are you seeing someone or are you dating someone or, you know, do you get a lot of attention from women or some of that nature, you never want, like, I've had guys that have told me, they've told women honestly and directly, well, I haven't been on a date in 2 or 3 years. You never want to tell a woman no shit like that. Even if it's the truth. And I normally do encourage men to tell the truth. But that's one area where I say, no, you do not tell women stuff like, I haven't been on a date in 2 or 3 years, or I haven't had sex in 2 or 3 years. Because the first thing a woman's going to think is, well, what the fuck is wrong with him?
Exactly, yep.
So I always tell men, I say, if you don't have any women giving you attention right now, act like you got one or two women. If you got one or two women, act like you got three or four women giving you attention. If you got three or four women, act like you got five or six women giving you attention, so on and so on. Like in my book, Who Said Again, one of the things that caught the eye of a lot of male readers and even more so my female readers was in one of the chapters, I say, pussy is like money. They always say the more money you have, the easier time you're going to have attracting opportunities for even greater wealth. Same with pussy. Pussy attracts pussy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some women don't necessarily like to hear it or hear it phrased like that, but it's the truth. And my friend Adrian basically said it in her own way earlier in this conversation. Pussy attracts pussy. I know the number one time I've had pussy thrown at me like frisbees was times when I was already getting a lot of pussy. It's like the more pussy I got, the more pussy that was given to me. Like, I remember there was this period when I was in college where I was just fucking like 3-4 different women a week every week. And they started getting around. And women would come up to me, they like, dang, Alan, I heard you fucking everybody. You can't stay out of a woman's bed, can you? Then next thing you know, that same woman would be like, have you seen my new apartment? You want to come to my new apartment? They was trying to give me some pussy because they had heard that I was fucking other women. That's how a lot of women are. I ain't going to say all women are like that, but a good number of them. But anyway, yeah, you never want to be, if you're a guy, and say again, you're a guy who hasn't had sex in a long time or hasn't even simply had a interaction with a woman alone, keep that shit to yourself.
Yeah.
If you don't want to lie, just don't say shit. Let them speculate.
I kind of just thought of some stuff to just be like, you know what I mean? If I'm talking to a girl and I haven't obviously talked to a girl in a while, and she said, "Are you seeing anybody?" I'm like, "I'm just dating, having fun right now." She doesn't know if it's yes. She doesn't know if it's no.
See, that's a good response. Yep.
You know,
yeah.
So just leave it up in the air. But I did have a question about mode one, just like in general.
Okay.
Now, when it kind of goes back to what the buddy from India was talking about last week, in that he had an issue, you know.
Oh, that was an intense show, man.
Yeah, that was crazy. So my question is, like, if you just approach a woman and you're straightforward in your intentions, but your actual intentions aren't sexual, like you really do just want to get to know her, that's your true intention. If you're just going about that and talking to her and saying, "Hey, I'd like to get to know you, when can we get together?" And you mean that, that's technically being mode one too, or do you have to be, you know?
No, you don't have to be. I say that in my book. You don't have to always be expressing some type of, you know, intent, desire for casual sex or instantaneous sex. I mean, yeah, if you genuinely want to get to know a woman's personality better, her character better, and matter of fact, if you're looking at a woman as a potential girlfriend, that is what you should be doing anyway. That's what I tell guys. You know, I never want to immediately hop in bed with a woman if I'm looking at her as girlfriend material. I want to know, first thing I want to know, I joked about this on this show a couple weeks ago. I said that women tend to be emotional about sex, and they tend to be selective, like, "Ooh, I don't want just any man inserting his penis into my vagina." Whereas I said, men, we don't have to know a woman's name to fuck them, but we want to get to know you to know if we could just leave you in our house or apartment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want just any woman in my house. Shoot, that's what I want to get to know a woman for. It's like this guy in Vegas. He was a guest on my show, too. His name is James Amaral. We were talking when I spoke in Vegas last year, and that's what he was saying. He was like, he said, I can't remember the exact words, but it's to effective. He said, a lot of women will say they want to get to know a guy before we have sex with the guy. He said, men are just the opposite. He said, we don't really need to get to know you to have sex. He said, we want to get to know you to determine whether we want to spend a lot of non-sexual time with you. And I totally agree with that. That's why I want to get to know women, is to determine, are you somebody I want to spend time with in a non-sexual manner? Because I can't just spend time with a woman non-sexually. I really can. Some guys might be able to, but you got to be really special for me to want to spend a significant amount of time with you in a non-sexual manner. Because for the average woman, if you're not sucking my dick or giving me some pussy, I don't want to be around you for too long. I mean, I'm just keeping it real. I'm serious. I really don't. I mean, I tell women that all the time. When they ask me questions like, what makes men determine whether you're going to be just a casual sex partner or a girlfriend material? And there's a number of responses I can give to that question, but my main general one is simply how much we enjoy your company non-sexually. If I enjoy a woman's company both sexually and non-sexually, then she's a candidate for girlfriend. But if I only enjoy your company when I'm having sex with you, but if I'm not having sex with you, you either bore me or irritate me, I don't want nothing to do with you. And that's what this guy James said, the same thing. He's like, he said, I get to know women to identify if they're going to either bore me or irritate me in between the time that we're having sex. And that's exactly how I feel. I don't. That's two types of women I don't want to be around. The woman that either bores the shit out of me, or on the flip side, irritates the shit out of me. If you're in one of them two categories, I am not going to date you.
Yeah.
But anyway, going back to your question, yeah, you can let a woman know you want to. Yeah, I always want to get to know a woman. If I'm going to be spending a significant amount of time with someone, again, non-sexually, then I want to get to know their personality. Are they intelligent? Are they funny? Are they articulate? Do they have some interesting hobbies? Main thing is their character. I want to know what their character is like.
And that's being mode one, right? Because, like, that really,
oh, yeah.
That is my intention. Because when I see a fine girl, I mean, sex is... It's an afterthought to me personally, because it's like sex, that's temporary, but I want to actually get to know the person, because it's like we just talked about, like, you want to know who she is as a person. Sex is nice every now and then, but after a while, you kind of want to know her for her. That's how I am. So, you know what I mean? The end game really isn't always sex. It's like, okay, I can get sex. What else do you offer? What do you like to do for fun? You know what I mean? That's stuff I like to know about. So that's being mode one, too, to actually
I mean... Yeah, anytime, whatever your genuine desires, interests, and intentions are, when you're expressing it, that's mode one. Then again, it doesn't have to be solely and specifically sexual. Whatever, same with small talk. You know, guys always ask me, well, Alan, what, you know, because I say in my book that I hate small talk. But that doesn't, a lot of people take that to mean that you should only be talking about sex. And I say, no, that's not true. If I want to talk about sports, because sports is genuinely on my mind,
mm-hmm.
Then that's not me engaging in small talk. That's me engaging in genuine conversation. If I want to talk about politics because that's what's genuinely on my mind and I'm genuinely interested in that topic, then that's not small talk. Small talk is when you ain't talking about something that in your mind you really don't give a fuck about. If you're talking about sports with a woman, but in your mind you're like, I don't give a fuck about this sports, then you engage in small talk. If you're talking to a woman about politics and in your mind you're like, I don't give a fuck about politics, you engage in small talk. And I don't like to engage in conversation with women about any subject where in my mind I'm like, shit, I don't give a fuck about this. But if it's something you're genuinely interested in, then, yeah, you know, talk about that. So, yeah, Kareem, thank you for calling. And also, yeah, I invited your recommendation that you told me about. We'll see what happens.
Okay,
but I did invite him to be a guest on my show.
Perfect. Okay.
All right.
All right, thanks, man. You have a good one.
You too. Adrian, I know you kind of go to bed early. Any final thoughts you have about the whole character of Olivia and or the whole notion of women being a man's mistress and woman on the side?
No, I think we've covered it all. You know, I just wish she would be a little more confident in her personal life as she is in her professional life.
Yeah, because... I guess that's my thing, too, is because it's almost like a, if not an overt contradiction, at least a subtle contradiction. Because career-wise, she's like this sharp woman. She knows, you know, she's just on top of stuff. And you would think she would say, okay, this is wrong. And but being realistic, I guess for TV purposes, that would make interesting TV,
well,
if she made all the right
she
decisions.
She broke it off at one point, and then they got back together, and together as they can be, and then he broke it off. And then one of the things that really annoyed me was last week or the week before, they ran into each other at a social function. She's leaving. He can't take the fact that she's in the same room with him, basically goes and ravishes her, for lack of a better word. I mean, she consented, so I'm not going to say it was rape, but, I mean, he just devours her and then is like, okay, I'm done with you, in a closet.
Damn.
Like, really? Where'd they do that at? And it totally was contradictory to what she does from a professional standpoint, and in my opinion, at that point, she was being treated as a whore.
Wow.
It'll be interesting to see how this whole thing plays out now. But, I mean, bottom line, president or no president, sharp in her professional career or not, she's still a mistress. She's basically a whore. It's unfortunate that roles like this for black women keep coming up and we can't get something that's a little more positive all around. It's a great show. I will continue to watch the show. I think Kerry Washington and the entire cast is just off the hook. But I wish they could have done a little something differently with it. And I think it disappoints me a little bit as well because it's a black woman that produces the show. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's getting away with what it's getting away with, because if a white person had produced this show, I think all hell would have broke loose.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. Matter of fact, there was a little Twitter drama for listeners who may not know about this. I guess on the show, Olivia Pope had a black boyfriend.
Yes.
And what's her name used to be on The View? Star Jones. If you ever watched The View back in the day, she used to be one of the co-hosts of The View. She wrote on Twitter, how come Olivia can't just be satisfied with having a good black man? Why she got to, you know, cheat on him with the president? And I'm paraphrasing some of the words. And then Shonda Rhimes, who's the creator of the show, wrote back basically because it's written for television. You know, I write not to represent, you know, the real world, but to write entertaining television. Again, I'm paraphrasing words, but she basically was like, I ain't going to have her making all the right decisions on TV, because then it wouldn't be a good TV show.
Well, not only that, but how many times on a TV show have we seen a brother with a white woman? Ain't nobody getting up in arms about that.
So, okay, who's the last brother that was with a white woman?
The last brother that I know is Taye Diggs. What was the show he was on? Was it One Tree Hill? And I'm like, really?
I don't even remember that show.
I mean, nobody says anything when that happens. But I mean, to me, the character that was playing her boyfriend, the black man, he was weak. He, you know, just because he had a powerful position doesn't mean that he was a strong man. I think his character was weak, and I think there was one of those weeks that Olivia just ran him down. She called, basically, she's like, "You're calling me a whore, a liar, a cheat, and something else," and she dismissed him. She was like, "Be gone." And he came back with his tail tucked between his legs. So my issue is not, you know, black-white. My issue is I don't like the fact that she's playing a mistress.
Oh, well, yeah, that's what I'm talking about tonight. I'm not really touching on so much the fact that she's a black woman messing around with a white guy. I'm just talking about the fact that she's a mistress, period. Now, but you talk about people not saying anything. Now, one actor who I will give some props on ER, if anybody was a fan of ER, Eric LaSalle, one season of storyline where he had a white British girlfriend, and he actually, as an actor, cut that off. Like, the producers wanted it to be a, you know, a long-lasting relationship, but he actually said, he, as an actor, he didn't like the message that I was sending out. His attitude was, you know, it's a lot of quality sisters out here. Why does my character have to fall for a white chick? So he basically told the producers, take me out of this relationship. And they, you know, they obliged him. So that was one scenario where a black actor did say, I don't want to have an interracial relationship on the show.
I mean, I agree with that. I applaud him for that. And I think, and you know probably a little better than most because you lived out in L.A. in the Hollywood scene. But I think if you want to work, you got to do what you got to do. And unfortunately, yeah. I think there's a lot of roles out there that black women and black men take just because they want to work, as opposed to really sitting down and thinking, is this going to be for the greater good of for me and for you know, the African-American acting community in general? Is this a good role model? Is this what I want to portray to young black girls and young black boys out there in the African-American community? They don't have those choices. And I have to, my personal opinion is I think there's enough black power players in Hollywood that why can't we open up our own studios and why can't we create our own things? I mean, we've seen that we can do crossover, and it's not an issue. So I don't know. I guess there just has to be a bigger issue as to why the power brokers that are black in Hollywood have not gotten together to do that. You know, the Will Smiths, the Denzels, the Oprahs, the Bill Cosbys, the Spike Lees. Why haven't they pulled their money together, and including Tyler Perry, pulled that money together to do what they want to do?
Oh, speak it, sister, speak it. That's what I'm talking about.
So I will continue to watch the show. I think it's phenomenal. African-American women have not had a lead dramatic role since Diane Carroll in 1972 with Claudine. I think Kerry Washington is doing some phenomenal work on that show. And, you know, we'll see where Shonda takes it. I agree. It's entertainment. It's written well. And it's not, the show is called Scandal. It's not Scandal if there isn't some drama going on. So it is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, have a great evening and have a great birthday weekend.
Thank you. You do the same.
All right, sweetie. That was my good friend, Adrian. I'm going to take another break, and when I get back, I see area code 702. I'm going to take, that's probably going to be my last call of the night, and then I'm going to wrap up. So I'm going to do one intermission break, take a call, and then I'll be wrapping up for tonight. So don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Dangerously. And you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times best-selling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavor 2, presented by Zane. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry of Upfront, Straightforward, and Low One fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Low One.
Do you think that guys, to one degree or another, have to play the role of the bad boy to attract women, or they just need to remain who they are and just, you know, be patient?
No, they need to combine their game. They need to go in with an attitude that I'm going to be a gentleman, but I'm also letting you know that I'm attracted to you. You know, I want to kiss you. I want to hold you. I want to, you know, I want to take you out. I want to date you. You know, if you think I want to get in your pants, you're probably right. But at the same time, I like you. I like you. I want to see you.
You know, there's more single women than married women in the United States.
Oh, really?
It's over 51%. Yeah.
There's more what?
Okay. There's more single women than married women in the United States right now. First time ever in history.
Mindset is correct. Somewhere there's a woman that's balanced, that's God-focused, that's, you know, she gives because she wants to give, not because she's trying to hook somebody with her giving, but she values herself. She recognizes her good qualities, acknowledges her bad qualities, and this is the person that's balanced and ready to be in a healthy relationship.
Just so the listeners know, there's a letter in my first book, Letters to a Young Brother, Manifest Your Destiny. It's called Finding Your Swagger. In fact, it's so funny. I just got a letter from a young brother that he read my book, and it's changed his life. And he also put it in, he said, and you know what? I found my swagger, and now all the girls like me like he said they would. I was so tickled by that, yeah.
Oh, man, you gotta love it. Single, lonely, confused, join me.
I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
We now return to my discussion about why do successful women allow themselves to be a married man's mistress on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to the last few minutes of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, the most listened to talk radio podcast program on Blog Talk Radio in the category of romance, dating relationships. Now, I had a couple callers that I was going to talk to, but both of them during the intermission hung up. I'm disappointed. I don't know what happened to you guys, but yeah, I had two people in my phone queue that had indicated that they wanted to contribute a comment to tonight's discussion, but they hung up. So anyway, so I guess I'm going to go ahead and wrap the show up. Again, my final thoughts is, on a business end, I'm glad that you got a sister that's able to create shows, and black actors and actresses who are able to get work. So if anybody perceives me as hating on the show, I'm not hating on the show. I know how Hollywood works, and you got to have drama to attract viewers, and that's a given. So I understand that. But like I said, I guess my only criticism is it's kind of a contradiction, in my opinion, to do with her character. Because, again, career-wise, she's this really sharp, intelligent woman who generally makes all the right moves and all the right decisions. But when it comes to her love life, sex life, and personal life, she allows herself to give in to having sex with a married man, and I just think that's wrong. I mean, and as far as for women in real life, I don't know why you would want to settle for being a man's mistress or on the side woman, particularly for a long period of time. Like I said, if you're talking about for a few days, a few weeks, month or two, then I'll give you a pass. But I'm talking about women who's been a guy's mistress or on the side woman for a minimum of 6 months or longer. You got to ask yourself, why am I doing this? Why am I allowing myself to be this guy's number two woman, number three woman, number four woman, when it's obvious he's never going to elevate me to his number one woman? You got to ask yourself that question as a woman. On that note, join me next week. I don't know who my guests will be at this particular time. I'll keep you posted on Facebook, Twitter, and on the Blog Talk Radio page. Until then, have a safe and enjoyable